You hate losing that many teenagers. Of course, you hate losing 8 teenagers, but get a great group of young people, and I'm excited. We've asked them to come, and all of them, you can imagine, love being behind a pulpit and public speaking. But we asked them just to come and really just kind of share their name, how long their family's been at Heritage, if they want to give a word to our church of greeting, they're welcome to, and also just close with the verse. So we'll have them come one at a time. So Jessica, you come first, and Logan, if you want to come, stand right there, and you'll be up next.
The reason why my gift was so big, heavy, was because it has a whole bunch of bananas in it. So I'm really excited about that. I'm Jessica Colbert. I've been at Heritage for about 2.5 years now. Actually, it'll be 8 days. It'll be 2.5 years. It's coincidentally on my birthday, so it's pretty awesome. I graduated from Boyd High School from this past Friday. And I just want to thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Thank you so much for supporting all the seniors this past year. It's meant a lot. Nothing to beat like church family. I can always go to you guys for anything, so it's amazing to have you guys in my life. And to close, my verse, one of my favorite verses this year that helped me got through this year is Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So thank you so much.
My name is Logan. Been at this church for 3 or 4 years now.
Hello. My name is Brent Hopper, and me and my family, we've been coming to this church for about the last 5.5 years. And I graduated from Northwest High School, where I'll be attending the University of Central Oklahoma. I'll be pursuing a golf major. I'll be PGA administration. So I guess, I don't know if that really counts as a major, but that's what we plan. One of the verses that helps me get along is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it's, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so that'll help me get through college. And then I'd just like to thank the church, and I'd love to thank Pastor Crawford and Brother Latta for being mentors and just being very inspirational and motivational to our lives and helping us just guide the way for us and help us learn the Word of God. Thank you.
My name's Marissa Moore. I've been here since, well, the beginning. I graduated from Lake Country Christian School, and I will be attending University of North Texas in the fall. One of my verses that really helps me about learning, since we just graduated, it's Philippians 4:8-9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And I just want to thank you as a church for supporting all of our seniors, supporting me, being there for my entire life, practically. And I want to thank my mommy. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Taylor Schatt. I've been coming to Heritage Baptist Church for a couple of years now, and we just joined this year. I'll be graduating from Northwest High School, where I'll be going to the University of North Texas. I plan on majoring in biology through the pre-med program. And my favorite verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding."
Hi, my name is Reed Spivey. I graduated from Central High School, and I'll be attending Texas A&M in the fall. I've been at Heritage ever since we've opened, so that's a long time. But I just want to say thank you to my parents and this church for playing such a vital role in my childhood, and I think I turned out okay. My life verse is 1 John 2:14. "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one."
Hello, I'm Dylan Wilson, and I graduated from Paulton High School, and I plan to attend Heartland Baptist Bible College. And just want to thank the church for investing their, you know, time and money into me. And the verse I chose was Galatians 6:14. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Thank you.
Hello, I'm Julian Zaragoza, by the way. I've been here about a year, a little over that. I just want to thank everyone for being there, especially my youth group. I'd have some hard times and I'd have some good times, and it's like family. You all are. And my life verse is James 1:19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Thank you.
We're certainly very much acknowledging that we appreciate the role that our youth department's played in these teenagers' life, and some have been there for a few months, some for all 6 years, but we recognize very much so that the reason why these young people are they are today is not because of our youth department, although the youth department hopefully has had an influence on them, but they're a product of their families, and we're thankful for every mom and dad and the investment you've made in your young people. And so the seniors will each, if you guys want to go ahead and grab your flower bouquets, have a little special presentation for the parents. So Mr. Burtis, she'll play something, and then they'll come speak to their parents for a few moments. Again, I couldn't say thank you enough to Pastor and to the parents who have allowed my wife and I to have opportunity to influence your teenagers and spend lots of time with them. Some of the young people up here have spent weeks and weeks and weeks with us across the country and in Colorado, and just lots of good memories. And so thankful you all allowed us to do that. I'll come back here in just a few moments and say just a word or two. But this is a special time for us. We put together a senior video, and this senior video, I hope you guys get a good laugh out of some of the pictures. We always enjoy seeing the baby pictures, especially the ones where we can't tell if it's a boy or girl. That's my favorite. And so we'll go through here and we'll play a video this time. Hope you all enjoy.
Times replay and I can't my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. God is good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood, yes, through it all. God's been
Jesus.
and brother, memories made. Our pastor to lead us this altar to pray. Stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. I have been blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. The rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed. The place where He hides me under His wing. He's not just a song. He's the reason I sing. I have been.
On behalf of my wife and I, we'll just take just a moment to say one word to our teenagers, and that is we're very privileged to have this opportunity to be in this church, and to families, we want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us. But maybe just a word to teenagers for a second. At this point, you're graduating. We get to spend a little more time this summer, but you're off to that next stage in your life. And I just want to share a verse with you, something that I think will be an encouragement to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Especially this, again, for the teenagers that's graduating, just a reminder to you. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Here it is. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Young people, may I just remind you that most all of you guys have had moms and dads who your entire life have put God's Word into your heart. And you've had a church who's loved you, and a pastor, and Sunday school teachers who invest in your life. May I just remind you that the Bible is all you need in order to live a life and be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And just an encouragement, no matter if you're 19 or if you're 90, we all need the Word of God in our lives, and we all need what the Word of God and what God can direct us. And you've been taught, you've been preached at, you've been sung to, you've been to camp, you've been on mission trip, and really it just comes down now to, will you do what you know you're supposed to do? And my challenge for each and every senior is this: we love you all, we appreciate the opportunity, but now it's your turn as you take the reins of your life, so to speak, and it's your turn to continue to follow through on everything that your parents have taught you, this church has taught you. Just continue on being faithful. We're going to have a special, and then Pastor's going to preach to us tonight.
Not having special. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I think Brother Lattice said it right. And a lot of time and effort has gone into the raising of these young people. And just remember what you've been taught, right? Continue on. The things that have been committed to you, keep going. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm actually going to take Mr. Brent Hopper's verse and preach that tonight. We're going to be very brief tonight, but just want to give you a couple of things. Let's start in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, familiar passage. In fact, I've preached on this passage many times. One of the passages or messages I've preached is called Priorities. I've preached that one several times. And so tonight, maybe a little different, but just want to encourage you and encourage our graduates. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, because of the things just stated, you can't add to your stature. God's providing and providing all these things for the various, the lilies of the field and so forth. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know. I think tonight, more on my end and thinking about our graduates and their future, I can see how as each of us, whether you're graduates or us, all of us, as we look forward, as we look into the future, sometimes we can look to the future with worry. We can look to the future with discouragement. I mean, it don't take long to sit around and you can start numbering up things going wrong, not only in society as a whole. I mean, we can just think about the direction of the country and direction of where America's headed and where everything's headed. We can pretty quick become worrisome, discouraged. Doesn't take much, does it? Doesn't take much to create anxiety in one's heart as you kick around things that are going to possibly, maybe, happen tomorrow. Right? And Jesus says, what can you do about tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of itself. But we as Christians, we as believers, many times get caught in the anxiety trap. We get caught in the worry trap. I remember that little song growing up, learning, why worry? When you can pray, trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 when you can pray? I mean, why worry when you can pray? But it's tough to live, right? I mean, it's easy for me to read the Scripture, and this is Jesus' own words, and we know what He's trying to say to us, what He's trying to convey to us, and yet it's hard to live it out. It's hard to put, to take tomorrow and don't worry about tomorrow and don't worry about the next day, not to worry about what we may eat or what we may drink in the coming future, and to our graduates maybe worrying about what is going to happen when the semester begins this next semester, or what's going to happen, or where in this, and how am I going to get tuition money, and on and on and on. But can I tell you, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. There is victory ahead. Can I just say to all Christians tonight, all the church family tonight, there's victory ahead. I'm telling you, I read the back of the book and we win. I love that statement. I always get an amen. But there's victory here now. Jesus came to give us life and give us life more abundant. And one of the ways in which we experience an abundant life is not to worry about tomorrow. And not to have anxiety about tomorrow, but live into today and let God take care of things. But there's victory ahead. Three things tonight, very quickly. Three things to consider in having victory. And victory is found in what? It's found, number one, in faith. In faith. We see in verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which do today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? It's a lack of faith that we don't have victory. It's a lack of faith that we become worrisome and anxiety-ridden. I mean, that's what it is. It's a lack of faith. Listen, it's a lack of faith in the Creator of the universe. It's a lack of faith in the God who owns all things. It's a lack of faith in a God because our God is too small in our own eyes. Listen, we've been preaching this some on Wednesday nights, and I look forward to this Wednesday night getting back to the attributes of God. But our God is too small. Teenagers, graduates, I mean, no matter how long I've lived and study the Bible and pray and read, my God is, for me personally, my God is too small. God can take care of you. And it takes faith to realize it. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in September or the last of August when you may go into school, or maybe you enter into the workforce or whatever God has in store for you. But listen, God knows. I can't see what lies beyond the bend around the corner, but God knows. I mean, a Chevy has pretty good lights at night, but it still can't see around the corner. God knows what's going around the corner. God knows exactly what's going to happen in your life, and therefore we put our faith and trust in Him. Trust God. Put your faith and trust in Him. Can I say to the church family tonight, listen, I don't know what's going on in your life or what anxiety may be happening in your life, but put your trust in the Lord. Put all your trust in Him. He will meet every need you have. He will, He can and He will meet your physical needs. There's those who are sick. I think about Miss Belinda tonight and just all the issues she's having to face and back in the hospital and all these things, and so many others who are hurting tonight and job situations and all of these things that are going on. Listen, God will take care of your physical needs. God will take care of your emotional needs. There are some here tonight who are emotionally a wreck. Emotionally a wreck. And can I tell you that if you'll go to God, He'll provide that encouragement you need. When you're discouraged and when you're downtrodden, God will provide the emotional part of you, that need that you have. So many times it is people who hurt us. It is people and maybe even parents and uncles and aunts and relatives and neighbors who hurt us. But can I remind you that God is there always for you. And God will provide that emotional need that you have. And that God will provide that relational need you have. Friends will let you down. And I'm even going to touch on it here in a moment. Parents will let you down. But God will never let you down. He'll supply those emotional needs, those relational needs. And God will absolutely supply your spiritual needs. But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By the way, He's pretty rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. Faith. Jesus just says to them, "Oh, ye of little faith." And that's really our problem when it comes to worry, when it comes to anxiety. And when it comes to victory ahead, put your faith in the Lord. By the way, he says, just the faith of the size of a mustard seed. Little bitty. Teeny, weeny, weeny, weeny. Little bitty. Just got to have that much faith. And you can move a mountain. Just a little faith. Remember the man who said, "Lord, increase my faith"? I just go to him and say, "Lord, I lack faith. Lord, give me faith." And God will give it to you. So number one, we think about having that victory ahead and victory over worry and victory over anxiety. And that's found, number one, in faith. Number two, it's found in the Father. Verse 32 says, "For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all of these things. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall be clothed with." God recognizes, understands, and knows that you have need of all these things. I'm glad tonight that I have a heavenly Father. Tonight, about 9 o'clock, I will call my dad, or he'll call me. And I get to talk to my earthly father. And I always get encouragement by talking to my earthly father. And my dad is such a blessing and had an impact in my life. What a blessing he's been. But can I tell you, over a period of years, that my father has let me down a time or two. I've let my kids down a time or two. But your heavenly Father will never let you down. Your parents have invested a lot of time and effort and money and time and effort into you. And surely that should respect some loyalty and other things there. And yet, many times we look back and we like to just nitpick parents and their faults. Can I tell you that nobody's perfect? The Lord is the only one. I know that's obvious, but nobody's perfect. Let me tell you, young people, your parents have invested a lot of time and effort into you because they love you. But the Heavenly Father, He loves you beyond measure. And He will provide for you the clothes you need, right? The job you need, the future spouse you need. On and on down the line, God will supply. Your Heavenly Father, just as your earthly parents love you and want to provide for you and want to care for you, so does your Heavenly Father. I love that. I love the way in which God reveals Himself to us by way of the analogy of being our Father. He didn't have to do it that way. He could have been Zeus, you know. But no, we recognize Him as our Father. What a blessing. What a blessing. Again, we think about our Heavenly Father with unlimited resources. Listen, your parents have limited resources. I have limited resources. But your Heavenly Father has unlimited resources. That's good stuff, isn't it? Remind you, Christians, I remind you tonight, God has unlimited resources, and we should go to Him. He will never let you down. He is the perfect Father. Can I tell you, He's the perfect parent. I love what Brother Cox put out on the sign. Our Heavenly Father is the greatest pattern for fathers of anyone else. You want to learn how to be a good father? Learn about the Lord. That's how to be a better father, right? Our Heavenly Father, number three and lastly, and this is the crux of the message, everything that we need to find, everything that we need to overcome and have victory over anxiety and worry of the future and what may lie ahead is found in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, it comes down to this, to seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I looked that up, that phrase, kingdom of God, and there's various definitions. But basically what Jesus is saying here is, in seeking the kingdom of God, it means to seek the will of God. To seek the will of God. Right? My purpose in life is to glorify the Lord and enjoy His relationship forever. My purpose in life, the purpose in life of the teenagers here tonight, all the children that are here, the adults that are here, our purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek His will in our life. Can I remind you, graduates, it's your responsibility as a Christian to seek God's will in your life. What does God want for your life? You should seek His will first. And then you should yield to His will. And then, if you think about it now, it's talking about the kingdom of God. And therefore, the kingdom of God has to do with the rule that has over us. In other words, we ought to obey Him. It's not just finding out what He wants from our life, but it's also obeying and doing what He asks us to do. If you're here tonight, you're a Christian, you want to overcome anxiety and worry, you want to have victory in life over what may happen in the future, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His will in your life. And then, put yourself under the authority and be obedient to the Heavenly Father. You want to have worry of what's going to happen tomorrow? Seek first the kingdom of God. Make sure you're in His will. Make sure you're doing what He wants you to do. Putting Him first. Secondly, it involves, this word kingdom of God involves not only obeying Him and not only the rule that He has over us and seeking the will of God, but this word also has to do with praising Him. So He's the King. And as a King, we're seeking His will and as a King, His kingdom, right? I'm a Christian, I'm His child. He's my King. I'm seeking His will, I'm obeying Him, and I'm praising Him for it. I'm praising Him for it. It has to do with praising Him and glorifying Him in everything we do. We ought to seek to glorify Him. Three things. Seeking first the kingdom of God is to seek His will, to obey Him, and to praise Him. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. And then what does it say? And His what? His righteousness. His righteousness. And that has to do, we understand and know and understand that God is the ultimate in purity. He is holy. He is the thrice holy one. We're to seek His righteousness. Seeking His holiness. Seeking His holiness for what? Seeking His holiness for our lives. And Brother Latter read the verse a moment ago. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's the Word of God that helps us understand the holiness of God and instructs us on how to live righteously. In other words, how to live right. And if you want to have victory over the anxiety and victory over tomorrow and what's going to happen in the future, live right. Be blunt like the preacher this morning. Do right. Just do right. Live right and you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You know, don't lie, don't steal. You know, don't kill. Live right. Do right. Follow the Lord's will. Obey Him. Praise Him. Put Him first in your life. Glorify Him. And just do right. And you do right, and God will take care of the rest. God will handle the rest. I am telling you, just as your earthly parents rewarded you when you did right, and when you live right and do right, so does your Heavenly Father reward you when you do right. Seek first the kingdom of God, His will, His rule in your life. Praise Him. Acknowledge Him as King. And allow Him and direct your life in the way of wholeness, of doing right. Doesn't matter what the other children do. Doesn't matter what the other young people do. Doesn't matter what your neighbors do. Doesn't matter what your co-workers do. Doesn't matter what your aunt, your uncle, your... It doesn't matter. Do right. Do what God asks you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. You ought to underline, circle the word first, because that is the key to the entire passage. How can you find the will of God if you're not seeking Him first? How can you obey Him if you're not seeking Him first? How can you praise Him if you're not seeking Him first? You'll have no desire to do that if you don't put Him first. It comes first. Life is so much easier. Teenagers, adults, life is so much easier to live if your priorities are right. You know, there's so many things when I'm trying to glorify God and to serve Him and do right that I don't have to figure out. The crossword puzzle's about 90% complete when you just follow the Word of God. And there's that little bit, there's that 10% or maybe a little more that you don't know exactly what you think that God wants you to do. And that's where prayer and just a tight relationship with the Lord comes in and seeking godly counsel from others. But most of it's done for you. And the best way you can live is live according to this book. The best way you can live. The most profitable way you can live. That's a better way to put it. It profits you. It's a better way to live. Just live according to the book. If you live according to the book, God will take care of you. God will take care of where you're going to school. God will take care of that job. God will take care of the car. God will take care of all those things. If He'll take care of a bird, that's what Jesus said. If God would take care of a bird, He says, surely He would take care of you. By the way, putting human beings over priority over animals. Right? Just thought I'd stick that in there. If God would take care of the grass, if He would send rain for the grass, that He knows, that God knows it's going to burn up in the sun, surely He'd take care of you and me. And He will take care of you. Put Him first. Put Him first in your life. All of us need to put Him first in our lives. Seek His will. Obey His will. Praise Him. Follow after righteousness, His righteousness, in living right and doing right. And do all of that first. And God will fill in the rest of the pieces for you. Seek Him first. Let's all stand.